This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, sadly, it's been a horror summer for drownings in New South Wales, and Royal Life Saving New South Wales are warning that it could actually get worse. They estimate that 50% of kids finishing primary school are unable to swim. Seems a bit shocking, doesn't it? Dave Dubois from Carlisle Swimming and the Australian Swim Schools Association's Water Safety Committee. G'day, Dave.
Hi, Katrina. Good to talk to you today.
Yeah. Do you think we need to be doing more to prevent drownings in New South Wales?
Well, you know, there's definitely more we can be doing. It's one of those issues that sometimes people think can't happen to them or their family, and specifically their children, but it can. We all have things we can do to help reduce the risk. So it's a community-wide problem, but a really important way to address that is that each of us takes some responsibility and takes some action individually.
Okay, well, people are talking about the government kind of doing more. Lisa Hart from YMCA has suggested government rebates for swimming lessons, I guess to make them more affordable, and also compulsory swimming lessons in primary school. That one's being thrown around. What do you think of those suggestions?
Anything that can help make more swimming lessons available is a step in the right direction. So I think there'd be broad-based support for rebates. Compulsory swimming lessons in primary school would also be a benefit, but you've got to be careful not to look at it as a complete solution. There's a large number of schools that already do swimming lessons with their children.
Yeah.
And school swimming usually takes place over a one term of the year and involves large groups with higher student-teacher ratios. So anything that gets children in the water swimming is a positive step, and it should be supported, but it's not enough to establish the skills needed to really make a difference. A lot of the recent drownings, there have been quite a few adults who've drowned, but if you look at the children who've been drowning in these stories we've seen in the news, many of them are younger than school age. So the drowning risk increases with younger children, and there's a particularly high spike in the 1 to 4 year old age range, especially with boys.
Yeah.
So it all needs to start well before they reach primary school. So there's definitely things we need to be doing before that point.
Yeah, and I think with that age group, supervision is super important as well. Look, some parents feel a bit frustrated because they fork out a lot of money for swimming lessons, but don't necessarily see a lot of improvement. Are swimming lessons actually effective at helping to keep kids safe in the water?
Well, I can definitely appreciate those concerns. People want to see value for money and want to see they're getting results. But it is important to adjust expectations. First of all, you need to understand nothing's going to keep kids completely safe in the water. A desirable goal, but to completely safe means there's not really any risk, and that doesn't happen. Swimming lessons are a way to reduce risk. We like to say we can help make children safer, but they'll never really make them safe. Learning to swim and learning water safety skills is a process. So if a parent's taking lessons and is not getting the results they want, they need to talk to the swim school or swimming teacher about that and, you know, find out if what they're expecting is realistic. With young children, it's important to have a year-round approach. It's what our swim school is based on, and lots of swim schools do that. Long-term skill retention and muscle memory, which is what allows kids to really keep the skills on board long-term.
Okay.
That doesn't really come into play until the early school age years.
So you're saying little kids need to go all year-round, not just in the summer?
Yep, it's definitely what enables those skills and behavior to be maintained and improved upon.
Okay.
Young kids should be in it consistently through the year, for sure.
Okay, and is there any kind of concrete evidence that shows that, you know, kids doing swimming lessons can actually prevent drownings?
There's a number of bits of research that have shown some results with swimming lessons. One particular study from the United States has shown that children in enrolled in formal swimming lessons have reduced their drowning risk by as much as 88%. So, yes, they are effective. We see thousands of kids in our swim schools gain significant skills that are helping make them safer. Some of that's by the skills they learn. Some of it's by modifying their behavior. And some of it's by the education the whole family receives, learning a bit more about how to act around the water.
Okay.
So when it comes to water safety, swimming lessons are only one of the very important layers of protection. The group I work with that our swim schools support is the Australian Swim Schools Association, and they have a Safer Swimming Initiative that uses the letters and the word safer to help people remember the layers. And,
let's hammer that one home. This is for parents, you know, everywhere, aunties, uncles, grandparents. What are the layers of safety that they need to keep in mind at all times?
So So if you think of that word safer, the S is for swimming skills. So we talked about that one. Should have your children in lessons, learning skills to help prepare them for what to do if they're in the water, be comfortable in the water, reduce their panic. The A is for adult supervision.
Yep.
We always want to have adults aware that they need to be vigilant with their children in general, of course, but especially around the water. And this means not leaving them alone even for a second. The F is for fences and gates. So there are laws in New South Wales about pool fencing. There need to be fences that meet certain criteria and are working properly. E is for emergency plan. And one important thing there is if you can't find your child, the first thing you do is check the pool, whether it's your pool in your backyard or maybe even a neighbor's pool,
yeah,
a pond, you know, a little temporary pool that's been set up and filled. Check that first. It seems to be notoriously the last place people check. And you want to check the pool first as part of an emergency plan if you can't find your child. And if worst case scenario, there's been a problem, you want to have learned CPR. So, you know, there's YouTube videos you can watch that give you some very basic instruction in CPR. And if you can do it, take a full CPR course and just learn how to do it. Because worst case scenario, you don't want to be coached on how to do that over the phone.
Yeah, okay.
And the R, the last letter in SAFER, is just a reminder that all those layers working together help reduce the risk. And that's a good little acronym. Swimming skills, adult supervision, fences and gates, emergency plan, and reduce the risk, SAFER. It's a good way to remember it.
Yeah. Okay, that's excellent. And look, just finally, this time of year is a lot of family and social gatherings and people are getting together and they're often having a swim. What do we need to be mindful of with that?
It's a great practical question. You always want to designate an adult. We talked about an adult supervision being important, but you really need to take a specific step to designate an adult who's going to supervise the water. It may help to actually call them, you're going to be the water watcher,
okay,
and maybe have something they wear, like a hat or a lanyard or something that makes it official. It sounds a little contrived maybe, but it really does help to designate this person has taken the responsibility, and they need to be watching the water and the children in and around it. They're looking to prevent anything from happening if they see potential problem. And if it does, to take action quickly. Supervising, it's good to take a moment and talk about defining supervision. Because when you're supervising, it's not just being around, because there's often a lot of adults around. They may be doing other things. So if one person's really focused on supervising, it means avoiding anything distracting. Like drinking, you know, a bit of a bummer if you're at the party, you're not the one drinking. It's a lot like being a designated driver, avoiding drinking, avoiding talking to others, and avoid using their phone. You know, most people sit there and text and browse on their phone while they're supervising the kids, and that's not really what that's about. Particularly around water, we're talking about being focused on watching the water. Because they do drown without a sound, and at a party crowded with a lot of people, it's important someone's designated to watch and really do only that. And maybe they do it for an hour and then they can trade off and take care of doing
sure.
it.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's a really good suggestion. Thank you so much, Dave, for those water safety tips. Hopefully you've given us a lot of food for thought.
Well, it's really important, and because drownings hit their peak in January, I really want to encourage everyone to think about those layers and how to apply them.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much. That's Dave Dubois. He's from Carlisle Swimming. We've been talking about water safety.